For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Gabe Davis is a big body, but he's not that sort of guy and has never really been that sort of guy. And, you know, Stephon Diggs is a better contested catch player than his frame should allow him to be, but also isn't that type of guy. I think even going further back, like John Brown, Cole Beasley era Bills, where you had these guys who were like 5'9", making up the entire receiver room in Buffalo. And then we had the Kelvin Benjamin experiment that was on the wrong end of the other side. But this is sort of a unique new skill set being dropped into a Josh Allen offense.
As Nate Tice on Keon Coleman and like the history of the Josh Allen receiver archetypes, how Coleman is a new one. He's never really had this before. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 803-0550, our number. We'll talk a little Browns football, 830. Jonathan Peterlin going to join us and all the moves they made to create cap space. So we'll see what's going on in Cleveland at 830. Meanwhile, you know, we're chatting football with you. It's a football Friday. It's a fantasy football Friday. The news on Johnny Gaudreau is, of course, terrible. Tragic news that he and his brother were killed in an accident overnight. And again, as Joe mentioned in the update, the details of that accident, none of that part of it has been confirmed. But the deaths of both Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew have been confirmed. And I was thinking about this, like reading the NHL statement on Gaudreau. 7-time All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
Team USA.
Team USA.
Team USA. Like, born in New Jersey.
Yep.
And this accident happened near Philadelphia, or in Philadelphia, which is, you know, near, obviously,
where he's from.
Yeah, yeah. Right from that area. So, like, I'm trying to think not to make any of these athlete deaths.
Lady Bing winner, too. Yeah. All-star. Yeah. Everything.
Not to rank them or anything like that. But
yeah, no, just but I just asked decorated.
I just asked the question to Joe in the break. Is this the most decorated athlete to pass in how long? I'm thinking back to when there was a boating accident for the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, I was thinking Jose
Fernandez is another one far enough back. Steve Olin,
okay,
I believe. And there was another pitcher with him. Was it Bobby Ojeda was hit with him? Or
okay.
I'll double check that. But there was a boating accident where two Indians pitchers were killed.
Yeah, I remember.
Tim Cruz in a boating accident.
Tim
Cruz and Steve Olin both killed in a boating accident. That was 1993.
I remember the Jose Fernandez one because that was, I mean, all of these are, of course, insanely emotional, but that one, I remember the first Marlins game after he passed away, and the first batter, they were all wearing his jersey, hit a home run, and was like bawling when he got to home plate.
That's
it was
right.
Like one of the most emotional moments I've ever seen in sports.
That's right. That's reminiscent of, I mean, DeMar Hamlin survived, but,
yeah,
you know, Hines on that kick return.
Right, yeah.
Incredible.
And yeah, I mean, he was an amazing player. He had a nickname.
Johnny Hockey.
He had a nickname.
Yeah, he's amazing in college. Amazing.
Super exciting player, right? Yeah. Like the dangling and everything. And again, he wins the Lady Bing, so like gentlemanly player. I remember when he went to Columbus 2 years ago and everyone's like, why'd you go to Columbus?
Yeah.
Because he's from Philadelphia and everyone thought he was going to go to the Flyers. And I remember watching the Blue Jackets, whatever their version of like Embedded is. And they were doing like the behind the scenes thing. And you kind of got the hint that Gaudreau went to the Blue Jackets because that's where his wife's greatest career opportunity was. She worked in like the medical field or whatever, and her best opportunity was in Columbus. So he said, all right, let's go to Columbus. I'll play for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, father, two young kids, I believe. It's terrible news. Just obviously terrible news.
Yep.
I don't remember. Like, there's Reggie Lewis. Hank Gathers, am I thinking of? Like just
I thought of Sean Taylor in the
Sean
break.
Sean Taylor's
when
a good
you
one.
You mentioned it to me.
Like Sean Taylor, the connection to the Buffalo is that was the first Bills game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like they put 10 men on the field.
Do you remember what the Bills did?
They ran a play.
They ran at it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the 10 men, Joe Gibbs maybe was the Washington coach then when that happened.
The Commanders announced they're going to build a statue to Sean Taylor 4 days ago.
Okay, really?
Yep.
Yep.
Sean Taylor statue. He was killed in a home invasion, I believe.
He was retired by the time this happened, and I haven't watched the documentary yet, but there's a Steve McNair documentary that just came out about his murder. And, Kobe.
Kobe, right.
Again, he was retired, but man, like, I remember where I was when I saw, hey, Kobe died.
Yeah.
And that one sent shockwaves through everybody. So, it's all of these two are like, they're so sudden. It's not like, you know, it's just like, boom, there it is. Not like this long battle with, you know, whatever. It's just like, boom, Johnny Gaudreau's dead. Like, what?
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you updated as much as we can. Any sort of news that there might be.
That would probably at this point just be confirmation of what happened, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, Kobe is obviously like, Kobe is a moment. Kobe's like Michael Jackson. I remember where I was when Michael Jackson died. It was on my 30th birthday. It's part of the reason I remember it. But yeah, like Kobe is seismic.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't long after. I mean, it was a year after he retired. Like it was, he was still very much in the public eye. I think the couple days before he was like at the Laker game in the front row and him and LeBron, whatever, like just he was still right there. Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us at all. On anything really, on anything for that matter. We've got the NHL world will probably come together and we'll see like what happens there. Sabres announced all their theme nights that are coming up, a bunch of giveaways as well. Like we're starting to spin up into hockey mode. This is the quietest NHL month. It's August, right? I mean, July has free agency. August just kind of powers down, and then September, your training camp. You're back to work. Like,
yeah,
for the Blue Jackets here to lose this figure in their, you know, their franchise, their community.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's awful. It's just terrible. So, thoughts and prayers to the Gaudreau family. And we'll keep you updated. With that said, 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. UB got a win last night. College football season's upon us. We're inside of a week from Chiefs-Ravens.
Yep.
Inside a week to get to this season, which...
And 1 week from tonight is also a game. Packers and Eagles in Brazil.
Packers and Eagles.
Yep, in Brazil. Which is a good game. Like, the opener, you've got four good, very good teams all playing in the first 2 days.
Yeah,
right? Eagles are going to be good.
Really good games. The only two teams, I was thinking about this, like, looking at the week one schedule. You know, whatever, we can maybe get to this next week, but is week one a must win for the Bills? The answer to that is no, but...
Is it must win for our psyche, though?
It probably is.
Like, they lose to Baltimore at Baltimore on Sunday night in week four, whatever that is. Like, all right, I can stomach that. You lose at home to Arizona to open the season.
And
it's going to be a tough next day.
Week one, it's tough to know who's good and who's bad. A surprise team isn't a full surprise yet.
Right.
You don't know. Arizona could go 11-5 with their new weapons on offense and a healthy quarterback. They could be a good team. But the way the schedule lines up for these Bills... If they were to fall to Arizona, it feels like the next day we would be talking about how it's going to be a rough year. Because this is a game that, you know, is if we do Howard picks the Bills, which we will next week, I'm sure that since the schedule came out, for a lot of people, this is a win from the start. Okay, win. They'll win at home against Kyler Murray. This is a game you would, even though they lost last time they played him, this is a game you would expect them to win. They'll find a way. They'll beat Kyler Murray. They'll beat the Cardinals here at home. And then it gets obviously a lot tougher. I mean, depending on how you feel about Miami. You know, you lose to Miami in Miami on Thursday night in week two. It's like, all right, well, whatever. Miami doesn't get any credit until it's week 18 because Miami always gives it back. Miami doesn't beat any good teams. They've beaten the Bills before, but it's, you know, few and far between. So is it must win? No. But like you said, for the psyche, it probably is.
Yeah.
How many people will actually entertain the idea that the Bills could lose to the Cardinals? How many Bills fans are really thinking that's possible? Probably not that many.
Maybe not enough.
They're not the Patriots with a rookie quarterback. They're accomplished on some level, but they were one of the worst teams in football last year.
They were missing their quarterback for half the year. From what I know about them, you know, this kind of goes to like how the game will play out too. Like, what could your takeaway be after week one, given what the Cardinals are? The Cardinals read like they're going to be an awesome, fun offense, and they're going to get lit up on defense. So what kind of game does that present? Because I don't know, the Bills' offense is the question mark right now, right? Maybe it'll end up being the stronger unit, but we're more wondering what they are on offense. And if you look at that matchup, that's a soft matchup to start with. You play the Cardinals in week one. Like, they're very lacking. I saw the other day PFF ranked them as the worst pass rush in football going into the season, the Arizona Cardinals. So if the Bills look good offensively, well, I guess if they look good offensively, they're winning the football game, aren't they? If they lose a shootout, like, I guess, does it really make a difference how they would lose it? If they lose to the Cardinals, they lose to the Cardinals.
I'd love to see a shootout. You know, a shootout for the Bills would make me feel like $1 million. Like, if they won a shootout.
Yeah. They win, like, a 35-31 game or something like that.
Right. I'm, like you said, about, like, which unit is going to be better, the offense or the defense.
Because the Cardinals, it's obvious. Like, their offense will be better than their defense. The Bills, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's true.
It takes me back to last year when they played the Eagles and lost in overtime. I felt great coming out of that game. Like, all right, fine. They're going to be fine. Their offense has answers. I mean, I'm always going to be one that probably leans toward that side and have faith that the defense, regular season at least, is going to come together enough and they'll patch it up. If they have issues in week one, they'll fix it. You know, the same could be said. The offense goes through those same growing pains. But I just want to see what this offense is. It's been months and months of waiting. And when we finally get our first look at it, I feel like people will settle in. You know, the idea of Coleman, Samuel, we'll see it. By the way, if Curtis Samuel's going to be on the injury report, that's going to matter.
He's been practicing, though, so I think they should be in the clear on that front.
He was week to week as of about a week ago, right?
Yeah, which is good also not just for their chances of winning, but trying to figure out what they are. Because if he wasn't playing week one and they looked like they were struggling a little bit, then wouldn't you just hear, guys, they were missing a whole chapter of their playbook.
Yeah.
They were missing the Curtis Samuel chapter. All these things that he does, they don't really have another guy that doesn't. But, again, it feels like he's going to play and hopefully will be a part of it. But, man, he's got an injury history. So that's worth keeping an eye on, because if he's a big part of what they do and they've got this whole idea of what role he plays in the offense that not really anyone else can replicate – man, hell, his health, I wonder how paramount his health would be then, because he's someone who's had a bunch of injuries in the league before this season. It's not often brought up as part of his breakdown, but it's probably part of the reason he hasn't been the player that his potential is he gets injured a lot. The year Joe Brady gets fired in Carolina, not the first year. The first year, I think he has 97 targets, career year. Yeah, here you go. 851 yards. That's the first year with Joe Brady. That second year with Joe Brady that Brady gets fired, Samuel gets injured in week two. And he plays five games the whole year. Like, I'm not saying that's why Brady got fired, but it might have helped if he had Curtis Samuel in the
field.
He wasn't available.
He's the straw that stirs the drink.
I mean, he's probably going to do a bunch of things that they don't have another guy for.
It's just really tough to believe that anybody will give that level of, okay, you get a pass when your quarterback is Josh Allen, right? Isn't that at the heart of this? Like, oh, you're missing Curtis Samuel? Okay, I don't care. Right. I mean, we've gotten to a point where you actively say goodbye to Stephon Diggs. You think he's fading, that's fine. But you actively say goodbye to that. You take a $31 million cap hit to not have him on the team.
Right.
I've got to believe that your system, your structure with your quarterback, anybody else goes down, sure, I might expect dips in production, but you don't get a full pass on any of that. Like, if Kincaid were to get hurt, do we just have to abandon all sort of expectations for this offense? The only player, you'd like them to be deep enough and built well enough and whatever, that as long as Allen's there, they can make it work. I know that that's not always true. Like, if you lose Dawkins or like the numbers for Brock Purdy, go look up Brock Purdy and the Niners and their production. There were three games last year he was missing Ayuk and Trent Williams. And you know what they did? They lost all three. They lost to Minnesota last year. They lost to Cleveland last year. They also missed a kick in that game to win it. But San Francisco lost however many games last year. They lost maybe three in a row without two of their best players. So I want to kind of walk a line between, all right, if Curtis Samuel's hurt, you don't get all these excuses. But, of course, it matters that you have your horses. 803-0550. Craig in Rochester is up. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Morning, guys. Fun talk football. I think unless the Bills steamroll the Cardinals like 31-10, I think it's a close win, or, you know, the Cardinals go up and down the field on the defense and stuff. I think right now the collective mindset is a lot of, let's see what happens, cautiousness, maybe even pessimism, which is understandable with all the changes. So I just kind of think outside of the team maybe starting like 5-0 and really hot, I think just in general you're going to have a lot more questions. And, yeah, I think if they lose, you're going to have people really going. It's going to, if they lose and then they lose to Miami, it's going to kind of be like that year in 16 with Rex where it felt like the season was over after the first 2 weeks. It would be pretty bad. So hopefully that doesn't go that way. But I just think given the nature of the roster, the unprovenness in a lot of areas, even with Josh, I just think there's a healthy dose of pessimism, I guess.
Maybe. So. Yeah, thanks, Craig. I'm thinking about two teams right now. I'm thinking about like the Rodgers Packers, where he's on the radio saying R-E-L-A-X, relax, right? I'm thinking of three teams. I'm thinking about when the Patriots started 0-2. One and two. What's the year they lose in Kansas City? We, myself included, we bury them and then they're fine. I saw USA Today. I think it was Connor Orr, maybe Sports Illustrated, USA Today, wherever, or Connor Sports Illustrated. He and this SI staff picked every single NFL game. They had the Chiefs starting 1-3. I want to put the Bills, like, as you lay
well,
all that.
No one's going to care if they go 1-3.
That's what I mean. That's what I want to say about the Bills.
Right.
If the Bills start 0-2, we, of course, would care. We, of course, would start to panic.
Yeah.
But there would, I also think, you know, as Craig's laying out the idea of like pessimism, I also think there'd be a healthy dose of relax, a lot of season left, and you still have this. This all comes back to, as long as you have Josh, you're going to be fine.
Wouldn't there be less of that, though, than ever?
There might be less of it. There might be a little bit of a transition year talk. I'm sure we'd get there.
Yeah. Window closing people would be like, oh, see, here you go.
I wonder.
0-2, and here come the Ravens and the Texans and the Jets. This is where it collapses.
I'm not here to tell you that people will be calm after losses. I mean, listen, I fully agree. If they win, they beat the Cardinals like 13-10. It's panic time. Because like, what?
That's a great poll. Is it panic time if the Bills beat the Cardinals 13-10?
But you know, like, we overanalyze. That's how it works. When I say we here, I'm speaking for myself, but maybe some of you out there identify with this too. We want them to convince us they can win the Super Bowl every week.
Yes.
And that's hard to do. That's hard to do, to convince every week that you are that good. And there are going to be weeks you aren't. And this team has, of course, lived in an era where it doesn't matter how good you are in the regular season. Now it's the playoffs. Convince me you can win the Super Bowl today. And then they get knocked out. It's over. So 0-2, 2-0. What's it mean? Talk to me in January. Are they playing? Are they winning a game against the Texans in January? Are they beating the Bengals in January? Even if we're sitting here and it's...
Yeah.
Again, I don't know why we started them 0-2, but we just did for the sake of it. Fine. 0-3. I'm still thinking about, well, you got to win some games because January. You got to make sure you find your game again. Last year, they ran the table, chased down Miami three games back, three to play.
Yeah. Against good teams.
Yes. So, I feel like if they were to, this might be the whole season. The whole season might be two steps forward, two steps back, one step forward, one step back. And I anticipate a lot of close games for them. They don't have the blow teams out rosters that they used to have. I don't think.
I'd be surprised I don't know if they ever will blow teams out like they did it before, because that was pretty rare what they did.
You know,
a three-year period where you blew people. They did it twice as much as the Chiefs did.
They did. And they had
twice as much.
They had a point differential that was so strong. Teams with that much dominance over years win Super Bowls, and they didn't.
All right. That's where it's historic, I think. It's
right, that's where you had a great team for 4 years, and they fell short in the postseason. Now you got to build another one. So, I don't know. Like, thinking about
close games,
panicking, I mean, close games.
They won that five-game stretch last year when they were 6-6, and they made that run. I mean,
it's close games. The Easton Stick.
Four of the five are one-score games.
The only one that's a blowout is Dallas.
Dallas is the only one that's a blowout. They beat Kansas City by 3. They beat L.A. by 2. They beat New England by 6. And they beat Miami by 7.
They beat Easton Stick by 2.
Easton Stick by 2.
And it's funny. Like, we've got all these all these other indicators. It's almost just like you're watching, I don't know, you're watching the stock market or you're watching some financial show. Like, all these indicators are bad. This is bad. This looks bad. This looks bad. But you have Josh Allen, which is reasonable. It's how the sport works. But I was thinking about, we didn't make a big point of this. I don't think there's a huge, giant red flag to wave. It's just kind of another brick in the wall about how maybe they might have a little tougher time this year. The fact that none of their players got picked up on waivers. Nobody. Okay, you traded one of your better players to Houston. Another one of your better players, Gabe, even though we know he's imperfect, went to another AFC team to strengthen their receiver core. Like, all over the place, the pieces you lost, these teams that picked them up think that they're going to be stronger. Maybe Jordan Poyer doesn't help the Dolphins. Maybe he does. Mm-hmm. And he's the twilight of his career.
Yeah.
But, you know, you made a trade with Kansas City to help them get better. Your GM has talked about transition year. So it's all there. And then they're going to play some games, and we're going to change what we think about it pretty quick. Beat the Cardinals.
Even if it's 13-10?
Even if it's 13-10. It'll be a little more boring.
I think this will be more than ever also just, oh, did you win? Would you take 13-10? Everyone will say yes.
Yeah.
Because this is more of just get in. Before it was, well, you are in. You're automatically going to get in. So this is, hey, prove to me you are going to win the Super Bowl. Or you can win the Super Bowl.
Okay, Mike Lupica tweeting this out.
I was going to say, do you have from CBS News the update on Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau?
Yeah.
31, Matthew Gaudreau, 29, Johnny Gaudreau, 31, 29-year-old brother Matthew, were riding their bikes on County Route 551 in Old Man's Township, Salem County, on Thursday night when they were struck by a man driving a Jeep. Police say the driver, 43-year-old Sean Higgins of Woodstown, New Jersey, attempted to pass a slower vehicle when he hit the Gaudreau brothers. That's from CBS News.
All right. Well, Mike Lubica has another part of the report here. It gets worse. If it could get worse, I mean, you've got two young men killed in an accident on their bikes. Mike Lupica. There are simply no words to describe the death of Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew last night as they were biking in New Jersey on the eve of their sister's wedding.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Man.
Like,
that family right now.
Yeah. It gets worse. If it's possible to be worse, that's worse. All right. Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, the Blue
Jackets.
Totally
heartbreaking.
Yes, the Blue Jackets have a statement. The NHL has a statement. Seeing some NHL players start to respond and post things online. Yeah, two bicyclists.
I saw
the Sabres. Go ahead.
Steve Corianos, who covers like prospects and whatnot, he tweeted out a picture of like around that area, and it's like it's a, the road is very like, it's, you know, there's no real shoulder, right? No. It's kind of out in farmland a little bit, so it's not like city streets, bike lane, whatever.
Yeah. The Sabres have tweeted out like a tweet statement. We're completely heartbroken for the Gaudreau family, Johnny and Matthew's friends and loved ones, the Columbus Blue Jackets organization, and the entire hockey community. The Sabres organization sends all of our love and prayers during this unimaginably difficult time. We'll get a break in. Talk a little Cleveland Browns when we get back. Keep you updated on this horrible story as it continues to go. Jonathan Peterlin on the Browns and their cap maneuvering yesterday and how serious their pursuit of Brandon Ayuk might have been. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
At the end, it was either going to be Steelers or 49ers or Brandon Ayuk. The Steelers didn't have a receiver. They were never going to trade Pickens. Didn't have a receiver to trade the 49ers. They couldn't do a deal. This makes sense for him to stay in San Francisco. Did they pay him a little more than they wanted? Obviously, they did, but they also now get a very, very good player back on the roster.
Ian Rappaport on the Brandon Ayuk saga, which is over. I would argue, this is a controversial take, not really, that Ayuk became more of a household name by doing this. Don't more people now know?
Yes.
He's one of the best receivers in football?
Absolutely.
You might not have known. I mean, Deebo Samuel had more name recognition with the Niners for the last however many years.
Oh, he was sixth on his offense? Seventh on his offense? In terms of, like, name recognition?
Maybe.
Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle.
The quarterback of the month.
Purdy.
Maybe third or fourth.
Sixth.
Maybe third or fourth on name recognition, but he's one of the best receivers in football, and he just got paid like it. 4 years, $120 million.
He's in the 2020 draft.
Yeah, first-round pick.
So that's the Jefferson year.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I did see a tweet yesterday that maybe it was from a Browns – no, it was from a Denver person that – we really don't talk enough about that the Broncos passed on CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and Brandon Ayuk to draft Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
The only thing is, though, at the time, like, Jerry Jeudy was not a reach.
No, he was thought to be the best receiver in the draft.
Right. So, like, nobody sniffed at him being the top guy.
No.
He also, actually, he wasn't the top guy.
No, because Ruggs.
Ruggs was the
Henry
top
Ruggs
guy.
Went first.
Yep. And then Rager was the other first-round receiver.
Yeah, Rager was the one.
You did have a couple of bad picks that year.
803-0550. It's another team investing big money in receiver. You have two kinds of teams that are investing big money in, I guess two to me there are two types of teams. Teams investing big money in receiver and teams that will. That's it. The Packers model, they will. They'll pay Jaden Reed after two more years of what he's done.
Well, who's the last team that said, "Nah, we're good on a second contract for a stud receiver?"
It's the
because all these teams this offseason are all like they might do the whole show and dance of we're negotiating like I don't know if we want to do this. They all end up doing it.
It's the Titans, right? They're the last team that said no thanks.
Yep.
And then they signed Calvin Ridley to big money.
Right.
Two years later, after realizing that when they let AJ Brown walk, it was a mistake.
Because even Diggs, Diggs was not on. They had already signed him. Like that's a different phase of his career a little bit.
I mean, the Bills ultimately got Diggs at a bargain. He got extended right before the big, huge explosion at the position he played.
Also before his explosion at the position.
Yeah. He got a good contract.
Yeah.
And they got good value.
And if the Titans are the only real example of, hey, stud receiver is about to go into his first big payday, and you say, now we're good, the Titans look moronic for doing that.
Yep. Cincinnati's worth watching here because the Bengals notoriously do not pay. Some of these teams just have different policies and how much they're willing to guarantee and all that. And you've got T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Neither has been signed long-term. Either one could have been.
Right.
There's been plenty of debate whether or not they would sign them both and have Burrow. Well, they signed Burrow, and Higgins must be as good as gone. They drafted Jermaine Burton. So Higgins is going to go somewhere, and I wonder if the Bills will be in on Higgins. I don't think so. I don't think that's necessarily what they would want, but it's a year from now.
I mentioned that a little bit earlier, is that just it's going to be you don't have to replace Diggs in totality. You don't have to. Diggs was maybe the best receiver in football over 4 years, and if he wasn't number one, he was number two or three. Like, he was up there. You don't have to replace a top three receiver in the league. You don't need to get a top three receiver in the league to be a Super Bowl winner. But the point might be it's going to be hard for them to ever replace Diggs because the bar is so high for what that was. He was an elite receiver. And, like, just there was no argument about it. He was just the numbers were there, the route running was there, the everything was there. So, like, if they sign T. Higgins, that will be good. He will be, what is Higgins? The 15th best receiver in the league? Maybe, like, it doesn't even really matter. It's just,
maybe
you don't have to get Diggs 2.0, because getting Diggs 2.0 is going to be almost impossible. That guy doesn't become available all that often. That you could trade for that, oh, yeah, he's one of the three best receivers in the league.
Right, that's Ayuk, and the teams balked at it and didn't trade for him. Pittsburgh punted, and Cleveland didn't do it either.
Well, Pittsburgh... Doesn't it sound more like Pittsburgh just didn't have a receiver that the Niners could take back?
Here's one of the things that's funny. So Diana Rossini reported that it would have been – the trade might have been done if it was done a little bit more elaborately. Like, okay, the Niners wanted Cortland Sutton for a third. And
right.
Diana Rossini's tweet said that if they could have had a top-flight receiver come back, it would have happened. First off, Cortland Sutton's not a top-flight receiver.
No.
Not at all.
No, he's not.
But he does run slants a lot, and I think that's a big part of the Kyle Shanahan offense, and you know they have Ayuk running slants a lot.
Yeah.
So Sutton, he can do certain things. This is kind of like your point about Diggs. You might not be able to replace all of what he does, but can you replace the important parts? So here's the thing about the Niners. If they really thought Cortland Sutton was a top-flight receiver, which is odd, and they didn't want to pay this, they were offering a third-round pick to Denver for Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
They have 2/3. They could have also offered a second. If you really didn't want to do this, it kind of doesn't make sense, the reporting that they were going to trade Ayuk to the Steelers for a second if they could have picked up Sutton for a third. Or maybe they wanted a first for Ayuk. Who knows? Here they are trying to trade a top receiver, top flight receiver, an actual top flight receiver.
Yeah.
Not getting their value. And the reporting from Diana Rossini was they wanted a different one and they weren't willing to pay a third, more than a third.
Yeah.
Just
is it believable that they would have traded Ayuk had they got a receiver they wanted? Because every step along the way, that was included. All the way back to the first reported trade package that we saw for Ayuk, way back at the draft. Remember, there was the one report that the Jaguars called about Ayuk, and the Niners told them, we'll do it, but we want your first-round pick, and we want Zay Jones. We want that receiver included. Then New England and Cleveland pop up in the reports, and what's a part of that report? They want Amari Cooper, or they want Kendrick Bourne back, who had been on the team before. And then it was about Pittsburgh, well, they don't have the guy we want.
Pittsburgh should have traded for that guy.
That can't be what held it up, though, right?
I guess so.
It all broke up over that, just that you couldn't get a Cortland Sutton, Kendrick Bourne, Zay Jones level receiver back.
Right. Pittsburgh should have traded for that guy and then traded that guy to San Francisco. Zach and West Seneca. Good morning, Zach.
Hey guys. Good morning. I feel like I've called in and we've all talked about the receivers at nauseam here. Even Mike Shope making a point yesterday. We're all kind of sick of it, but it's still hard for me to compartmentalize that they're going into a year in the position they're in. I understand it, and, you know, it's just the point you just made, Jeremy, like, they're either paying a guy or you're about to pay a guy. I mean, that's so true. The Bills are kind of doing both. They're still paying Diggs. He's just not here. I don't think for a second that if they had the ability and if somebody was available, they probably would have done it. They're just so cap-strung here.
Yeah.
Here's the hard part the Bills are in. They're never going to get a – and I know guys fall late. Ayuk was a late first-round pick. They're never going to get a shot at a guy in the top 10. Look at the guys that went this year. You know, they would have had to give up, you know, a bunch of picks over the next couple of years, and they need those to reset and get this roster younger. They're just in this weird spot. I don't think Coleman's feeling's much higher. I think he could be good, you know, but I don't think he's much higher than a number two maybe, maybe a three. They still need a number one at some point. I think they'll keep looking for that, but they're just in this weird spot where I don't know that they'll – in order for them to get a number one, guys, they're going to have to trade an asset and pay him. I mean, it would have – they're not in a position to get Ayuk right now, but say next year, maybe Higgins is a free agent they look at. But if not him, you're going to be trading – I don't see any other way that they get a number one again. It's just not like how they got Diggs. Picking late in the first, they didn't want to get a young guy. That, you know, Allen was still kind of young. They're like, they wanted a proven guy. You know, they're going to have no choice but to get a proven guy and have to pay him where they pick. I don't see them ever picking, even if, you know, they falter to like 8 or 9 or 10 wins one year. I mean, it's still going to be upper teens to in the 20s, you know, picking, and that's just where it puts them. I mean, they're going to have to either get lucky and get a guy late, or there's no way they're going to get, you know, there's no way they get the Bengals.
The Jamar Chases. Yeah, thanks, Zach. To this point, like, maybe Coleman develops into a really nice player. Like, he's taken with the same pick that T. Higgins was taken with. T. Higgins was the first pick of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
That's Keon Coleman, first pick of the second round, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the second round has been a really good sweet spot. The thing the Bills, and, we'll see how this group grows. I think, you know, we could argue about receiver, and not everybody is as on board on the train as others, and that's fine. I think most would agree that maybe they've underfunded the position, if I could say it that way. Like, they've under-asseted it. I don't have the right words for it right now. You know, instead of three running backs in the second, and third round, if those had been three receivers and you just got a running back off the street, you might have a little bit better of a build and more depth, and you have a chance to hit big with one of those guys. Like, if you hit the best running back in football in the end of the second round, how long does that last for you? 5 years? Mm-hmm. If you had the best receiver in football, how long does that last for you? 15? 10?
Yeah.
Like, just there's more return on it. That's a fantasy football point as much as it's a regular point. And as you mentioned, Chase, it's funny. Like, anybody that thinks the Bills don't want this, Brandon Bean flat out said, I'd love to have a Jamar Chase. Remember that? But yeah. I don't want to finish in the top five.
Right.
I'd love to have a Jamar Chase. Well, so you could not sign him?
I just wanted so badly someone in the room to be like, what about a T. Higgins?
Sure, but Chase is top three guy.
I know.
But
at that time, remember, the thing about the Bengals was that they had three guys, they had Chase.
And Bean's part of his point, though, was I'd love to have a Jamar Chase because he was cheap. He was that good, and he was cheap. He's on a rookie contract.
Well, he also said he didn't want to be bad enough to get up.
Right, there. Right. But right. He was making the point about how the Bengals had an advantage about having a guy that good at a cheap price. And can the Bills ever get one of those again? And probably not without, well, whatever. You've got to
take your swings.
You just have to find one that hits. I mean, this is Coleman. If Coleman is great, he'll be a bargain. Gabe Davis was an incredible bargain for the Bills for the entire 4 years of his deal, even if he's imperfect.
You just got to, yeah. And you got to, they've not invested much in the position. And they might, if Coleman's great, great. If Coleman's not, I'm going to want them to do it again. Line back up, swing at the next pitch. How the Texans were never, well, actually they were bad enough, I guess, to draft receivers high, but they never did draft receivers high. How did they land on their trio? I mean, Diggs is the addition.
Yeah, but Tank Dell's a third-round pick.
Tank Dell and Nico Collins were both third-round picks. They were day two picks. And they missed on others. They missed on, well, I guess what you call it, missed. John Metchie had leukemia. Like, it's tough to really gauge whether or not he's just a bad player or if he got career derail, but like the John Metchie before that, they drafted a third round receiver the year before that. Like they took swings and hey, they were 2 for 4. But who cares? They got there.
Well, this year
they swung at it.
This year is a bit of the culmination of a second rounder spent on Cook, a first spent on Kincaid, a second spent on Coleman. Like, okay, let's see this offense come together as they've been slowly building it. It's been my feeling that they're kind of meandering around this identity, and maybe they really strike it. Maybe they really find it, and it comes into its finished form this year with Brady. They've spent those high picks. I just rattled off three of them on pass-catching options, and it should come together. There should be an expectation that it comes together for them with, of course, a great quarterback. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the hockey world waking up and reacting to the deaths of Johnny Gaudreau and his brother in an accident, killed by a motorist while they were riding bicycles. And it's on the wedding, his sister's wedding weekend, which makes it even more horrible. Kyle Brandt also tweeting, by the way, that Joe Andreessen on Good Morning Football right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right now?
He was at the UB game last night, and I saw a lot of people posting pictures of Joe Andreessen and thought, he should be saying every time he shakes somebody's hand, like, hey, Joe, calling him Buffalo Joe, Buffalo Joe. If you're Joe Andreessen, instead of calling me Buffalo Joe, I'd be like, it's Buffalo Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen. Please refer to me as Buffalo Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen, whenever possible. Cool to see him getting a lot of the attention he's earned. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We'll keep following the Gaudreau story, and we'll talk with Brent Axe coming up at 9 o'clock, a Syracuse football preview. They play this weekend against Ohio. Sabres announced theme nights, and I've got to tell you about the best giveaway they've got. They've got giveaways this year, and one of them stands far above the rest. Some hockey news for you, not Gaudreau-related. The Sabres, Johnny Gaudreau, of course, the news today is that he and his brother were struck and killed by a motorist. It looks like there's an investigation into all of the determining factors, but trying to pass another vehicle, hitting two men on bikes, and that's Johnny Gaudreau and his brother. So we've been updating you on that and following that story as best we can, Jeremy and Joe, this morning. So we'll continue to do that. The Sabres also, their schedule is out. The theme night schedule is out, and that includes giveaways. So turning to that for a moment, theme nights, there's Hockey Halloween, Hockey Fights Cancer, Military Appreciation Thanksgiving Eve, Native American Heritage Night, Bandit Land on Ice.
Cool. Nice.
Winterfest, Kids Takeover, Youth Hockey Day, Girls and Women in Sports Day. That'll be against the Blue Jackets. Black History Celebration, St. Patrick's Day Celebration, Pride Night, and Fan Appreciation Night. Those are all the theme nights for the Sabres. And some of them have giveaways. There's a rally towel for the opener. There's a wearable flag for the Hockey Halloween. Afternoon hockey, KeyBank Center, get dressed, you know. Hockey Fights Cancer has a scarf. There is a Sabres and Bandits themed shirt when it's Bandit Land on Ice. Winterfest will feature Sabres cookie cutters.
Okay.
Maybe like a little goat head outline the swords outline. Kids Takeover, there's a jersey lunchbox. Sabres water bottle on Youth Day. And Fan Appreciation Night, there's a fan choice of bobblehead. Bobbleheads are usually pretty popular. But Thanksgiving Eve, you've not seen what this is yet?
No. Already exciting, though, that we have a Thanksgiving Eve game at all.
There's a Thanksgiving Eve game.
Love that.
Wednesday, November 27th against the Minnesota Wild.
Okay.
Jason Zucker revenge game.
Sure.
The giveaway is a Buffalo Sabres gravy boat.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow, that's a good one.
I want to see the execution of this.
Yeah, I do too.
But a Sabres gravy boat.
Okay. What shape is this going to be? Is this going to be the logo?
I don't know.
Round gravy boat.
Some sort of Buffalo Sabres gravy boat.
Wow.
It could just be a gravy boat branded with, you know, the logos and colors and stuff.
I think the goat head would more represent the shape of a gravy boat.
It's kind of also a circle.
Because you got to pour it. It could also just be a gravy boat with the logos on it.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be in the... I don't know why I'm making it so it has to be in the shape of the logo. It does not have to be that. It could be in the shape of the buffalo, though, I guess. The buffalo in the logo.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yep.
Anyway.
That's a good one.
That's the best one, I think.
Did you see Pete Guelli tweeting about the black and red versus blue and gold yesterday?
Yes, and which is better, and it's probably based on, you know, clientele on Twitter, but black and red won.
Yeah. Hashtag research, he put out there. They would never go to it full-time, right?
No, I don't think so.
And even, I think, that kind of poll set the point up. 52% said black and red, 47% said blue and gold. And like you said, the demo on Twitter is probably a lot younger than the average demo of a Sabre fan. If you do black and red full-time, it feels like you're getting rid of blue and gold. And you just keep it so that you have both. You can wear it at home. How many times? I think they wore it at home 18 times last year. It's already almost half the home games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need it to be all 41. If it's 20 or 15, like, to me, they wear it enough to make it worth it.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, happy Friday. Made it to the weekend. College football underway. UB got a win. Colorado got a win.
Yes, they did. And the quarterback looks like he's going to be a top NFL prospect.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, during the game, I tweeted, Jadeur Sanders stinks. But that was only because he bailed on, like, four pockets in a row. And then after that, he proceeded to light up North Dakota State with Travis Hunter, and it was pretty impressive.
One of the things about him, though, I think, is that he does take sacks.
Mm-hmm.
But he can throw. He's got a big arm. He's mobile. That might be more of one like where he thinks he's so athletic
he can get away with
that. That he could get away with it.
That's what it looked like early in that game.
Maybe some coach could think, okay, his problem taking sacks isn't his feel for it. It's that he thinks he's more athletic than he is, and I can get that out of him. I can make him smarter in that department.
Update on the gravy boat from the Buffalo Sabres. One-of-a-kind Sabres ice resurfacer gravy boat. It's going to look like a Zamboni.
Okay.
And it'll drop out of the back, maybe?
Pretty cool. Oh, that's that, yes.
You can drive your gravy boat across your turkey?
Yes. Right, that's got to be that what's
might
happening
be, that
here.
Might be asking a bit much.
I don't know. It's one-of-a-kind.
It's true. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.